I love Jesus. John 4:18. This needs to be our attitude when we come across people who don't know God and there's a mess. The woman answered, okay, first go up to 15. The woman said to the Lord, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, Well, did you say, I have no husband? For you have had five husbands, and now he whom you live is not your husband. You have spoken this truly. Isn't God cool? He's sitting there talking to her, telling him about life, telling about getting living water, telling him how awesome the Lord is. He didn't just hit her over the head with, "You heathen, you fornicator." You know, he's just like hanging out with her, telling him about the life and God and all this stuff. And then she says, then goes, "Go get your husband." "I don't have one." "Oh, you're right about that." The woman says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where it's necessary to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But an hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such, the ones worshiping him. God is a spirit, and the ones worshiping him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, the one called Christ. When that one comes, he will announce to us all things." Jesus said to her, "I am the one speaking to you." My gosh, do y'all get this? He hadn't told almost anybody yet that he was God, that he was the Messiah. And who does he tell it to? This woman who's been married five times. Most of the church wouldn't even let her in. And she's now living in a situation not being married. And Jesus tells her that he's the Messiah. Everybody else is still guessing, trying to figure it out. The Pharisees haven't had him say it yet. Is he too cool? So that's why you've got to have wisdom. So we have some people coming here now, new people who've never been in church before. We have so many people who have children who've never been married. I mean, my gosh, in my self-righteous days, I'd have just preached them right out the door of the first service. But because they're here and we're teaching them God's love and we're letting God convict them, we're letting God change them, we're seeing what the Holy Spirit wants to do, doesn't mean that two teenagers who've been brought up in the church, who know who God is, who've heard of God, are going to come in here and we know they're sleeping together when they leave. Why? Because they know they're in rebellion. They know they're blatantly sinning against God, and they're choosing to. And the Bible says to put them out, to deal with it. Compared to somebody coming in off the street, that if the first day they come, you say, "Okay, you got to get out of here. You can't go home to him." Well, you better have a place for them to come live with their three kids until God works this thing out. But there does have to come that progression of watching God make the way of escape for them and not being hypocritical and playing games. Do you understand how difficult this could be for leadership in churches when God is basically, almost every church is going to be a Corinthian church because everything's so messed up. So there's just got to be that teaching. There's got to be that wisdom. There's got to know, you know, what the Lord is saying and doing. And the cool part is it's got to be led by the Spirit. It's got to be led by the Spirit. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Oh, we did that one. We did Ephesians 5. Subject yourself. Okay. We did all Ephesians. Boy. Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Let's go to that one a second. Colossians 3:18. Husbands, love the wives and do not be bitter against them. Children, obey the parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, that they may not be disheartened. We got a teaching back there on disheartened. I just want you to see this one thing. Husbands, he tells you again, to love your wives and do not be bitter against them. So I really encourage you, men, listen to the bitterness tapes. Really see what things you're blaming her for. And I would also say, wives, don't be bitter against your husbands. Find out where the bitterness is coming from. Get real. Deal with these issues. Talk about these issues. If you need to have someone else to help you work through some things, somebody who can maybe help bring some clarity to both sides, then, you know, call us and talk to us. After you come to a teaching like this, we want to help you. Not that we didn't want to help you before, but think how many hours this would take if I had to say this to every person. So now we'll hand the CDs and see if people really listen and care about the truth, and then we'll talk to people. That's one way we do it around here. So you want to deal with any bitterness. It means the enemy's going to try to make you bitter, make you angry with them. Let's look at Titus 2:4. It says, speak things which become sound doctrine. Age men, be temperate, sensible, discreet, sound in faith and love and patience. Age women likewise in reverent behavior, not slanderous, not being enslaved by wine, teachers of good, that you might train the young women to be lovers of their husband and lovers of children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, subject to their own husband, so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. All right. I just want you to see that there really is this ministry of women ministering to women, of really helping women have this understanding, of helping them to be those women of God at home. And I just want you to see the Lord does distinguish in the word between the husband and the wives and different things. Okay. Now look at 1 Peter 3:1. We're almost done. We're just doing the whole thing. If we're going to put this out, we'll do the whole thing. 1 Peter 3:1. All right. I want you to see about 1 Peter before we get to this part. All right. In 1 Peter, you're going to recognize if you study some of this stuff before, that he tells you in 1 Peter 2 to lay aside malice, get rid of all witchcraft, hypocrisy, get rid of envy, get rid of all evil words. As a newborn babe, desire the pure milk of the word of God. Grow in God, taste that the Lord is good. Draw near to God. Realize that you're being built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to give spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Know that Jesus is the corner foundation, the cornerstone. Look at verse 7. It says, but to the disobeying ones, Christ is the stone which the builders rejected. This one became the head of the corner, but he's a stone of stumbling to those who want to disobey. Verse 9, you are an elect race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession. In other words, God wants to completely possess you, so that you may openly speak of the virtues of the one who has called you out of darkness into light. You are people of God. Now verse 11, 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I exhort you as pilgrims and strangers to stay away from fleshly lust, which war against your soul, having your behavior good among the nations in which they speak against you as evildoers. By observing your good works, they may glorify God in the day of visitation. Be obedient to every creation of men because of the Lord, whether a king or supreme governors. In other words, obey the authorities. He says, verse 10, it is the will of God that doing good to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free ones, do not use your freedom as a cover of evil, but be slaves of God. Verse 17, honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Then it talks about servants and how they should act, and what you should endure and get through. Tells you, we got some teaching on this back there. I'm just not going to do the whole thing. But like 21, it says if you're suffering, in verse 22, you know, he was reviled. Do not return. Do not revile in return. Do not threaten. But he gave himself up to Christ who was judging righteously. He carried our sins on the cross. He died for our sins. By his wounds we're healed. Okay, he's the shepherd and overseer of our soul. I just wanted to see all these things are really taught in detail before we see 1 Peter 3. So the Lord is saying, likewise, wives. Likewise what? Just like he just told the servants, the slaves, how to handle their situation, how to handle their cultural situation, how to glorify God in it, how not to be evil because somebody brings evil against you, but to do things with the grace of God. He says, likewise, wives, submitting yourselves to your own husbands. I want you to see again, it never tells a woman to submit herself to another man, okay? That was just doctrine that got just way out there in egomania zone or something, okay? Okay, now listen to this. Submitting yourselves to your own husbands, that even if any disobey the word, through the behavior of the wife, without a word they will be won. They will observe your pure behavior in fear. Of whom let it not be the outward act of braiding the hair or putting on gold or on certain clothing, but the hidden man of your heart, in the incorruptible adornment of the meek and quiet spirit, which is of great value before God. For so once indeed the holy women who were hoping on God adorned themselves, submitting themselves to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, those whose children you became, doing good and fearing no terror. Likewise, husbands. Okay, let me say what this is talking about. This is talking about what she asked. Thank you, Lord. He just takes us right there. He's so good. She can win her husband to the deeper things of God without a word. So when she's attacked, she walks in blessing. She trusts God. See, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, when I get he's like talking to me. He's like, sometimes I miss a little bit. He's like, come on, don't say this, say this. Okay. All right. Ooh, good one. Thank you. This is my thing. If you quit being the judge of your spouse and you quit trying to control and manipulate their behavior and you die to having to have your own way, God will come in on your behalf. God will now begin to convict your husband. God will begin to have your husband see your behavior. See, that's what I was trying to say. When I wanted God to do it my way with my husband to come alongside me and leave that big, bad, mean church and how, you know, and bring my babies to a church where they'll love me, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And when he didn't do that, the Lord didn't lead him to it. The Lord wanted to deal with my pride. And so in that place, God did more than I could ask or think. But it was because I didn't say a word. I sat there and got grace. I sat there. I quit arguing. I quit nagging. I quit criticizing. I quit doing things from my superior attitude and humbled myself before the Lord. And then when I humble yourself before the Lord, he takes over in the situation. Okay, it looks like you're missing it. That's the part of it. Who cares what it looks like? Who cares what it looks like? It can look really messy right in the middle of God fixing everything. You just don't worry about that. You just walk above it. You walk in love. And this is the scripture. He will, if you let that spirit man in you get strong in God, you don't have to say a word. Wives, according to God's word, if they're living in that home, you will win them. You will win them. All right? Now, husbands, don't think I'm going to leave this out. Let's see what it says. 7, likewise, husbands, dwelling together according to knowledge, as with a weaker vessel, the female, bestowing honor as truly being co-heirs of the grace of life, not cutting off your prayers. Now, this is pretty powerful. Do you get this? He is saying, husbands, now this is to the Christian husband. First, he taught a Christian wife. He wants you to dwell together according to the knowledge of the Word of God, according to how God does things, not traditions. Understand that the woman is the weaker vessel. Okay? The women are the weaker vessels. That's why usually men come up and move the table for me. That's why my husband does certain things around the house that I don't do. It's okay. Jesus recognizes that he is more powerful than his bride. But God says, because he's made you to be the one who's stronger, you need to honor that wife and her femininity. You need to honor her by not pushing her around, by not trying to overpower her, by not using your natural strength to intimidate or control her. He says, but I want you to honor her. I want you to respect her. I want you to put her ahead of, just like we're told to honor our parents, you might be a big, strapping teenage boy, but most of you learned you don't slap your mama or punch your dad, even when you're big enough that you could. And what he's saying here is, Christian men, you may be bigger than them. Other cultures might allow you to take advantage of them being weaker Other cultures might allow you to push them around and treat them like nothing. But in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, you treat them with special honor because they are not big enough to fight you. All right? You have to give them that honor. Now, this is the part that's cool, because they are co-heirs of the grace of life. And if you don't recognize it, if you don't recognize that women are co-heirs, that means they have everything you've got. They have all the authority you have. They can hear God like you can hear God. They can walk with God like you can walk with God. They have every spiritual blessing in high places. They are also seated in the heavenly places. They can prophesy. They can preach. They can minister. They are co-heirs to everything. And if you don't know that, and if you don't recognize that, and just because they're weaker to you and they're not men, they're women, if you don't recognize that they're co-heirs, your prayers will be cut off. No wonder the church's prayers aren't being answered. No wonder people are praying for healings and there's no healings. They're praying for their children and it's not happening. And you know what? I want to show you something. If you buy into the priest of the home false doctrine, you have just bought a lie. You've taken, the wife has submitted to false doctrine. So she has cut off herself from having authority in the spirit realm. And now this supposed priest of the home, his prayers are cut off because he doesn't realize his wife is co-heirs with him in spiritual things. So now we have two people under doctrine from demons telling them this is how it works in the kingdom of God. He's the priest of the home. He's got headship. He's her spiritual head, and he's the man. And he's going to be the one who's going to pray everything through. He's going to be the one to see demons cast out. He's going to be the one. He's the man. And ladies, you just submit to that. Die inside. Pretend you don't hear God. And so that theology in and of itself cuts off the man's prayer. So here he's the head honcho, spiritual knight in shining armor. And God just says, because you don't recognize that you are co-heirs with your spouse, even though she's the weaker vessel with women, your prayers are cut off. Now, does that not sound like what the church looks like today?